This morning's scripture reading comes from the book of Luke. Feel free to flip to a Bible, your phone, your bulletin, or you can look up on the screen. I think lots of places where you can read along. Let's listen to God's word together. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 32. Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and set off for a distant country and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything and there was a severe famine in the whole country and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I'll set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, 'What's going on?' 'Your brother has come,' he replied. 'And your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him, but he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and you've never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son, the father said, 'you're always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" This is the word of the Lord.
Happy Lunar New Year. Sounding fine, long. We had something interesting, this staff meeting on Wednesday. We actually talked about what we're going to do because no one booked the church on Thursday, Friday, or Saturday. I think it's like the first time in a long time where the church was not used at all. So you guys must have been eating out like crazy. Is it over yet, or is this to continue on for another week? I think actually continues on for at least a few more days, but it's great to be able to have you here today. I'll be preaching on a passage in which I preached before, but I'm trying to approach it from a different point of view this time, and I hope that the Lord will be able to speak to you through that. This past year, we've been trying to see what renewal looks like for ourselves, personally, relationally, spiritually, and as well as for our church. And today, I want to share with you a story, a parable in the Bible that illustrates renewal in a very good way, extremely good way. In doing so, I want to refer you to a painting by Rembrandt entitled The Return of the Prodigal Son. You can also find this at the back of your sermon notes if you want to refer to that. And when I first saw this painting at the Hermitage Museum in 2004 in St. Petersburg, Russia, I was really moved by it. It wasn't just because of the size of it, because this original is about 7 feet wide by about 9 foot high, so it is larger than life. But I was so touched by the way in which Rembrandt portrayed the three main characters in this story in Luke chapter 15. The character of the father, the younger son, and also the older son. I was so enamored by the painting that as I was studying the details of that over the years, I now have 4 copies of this. 3 at home, and which is one of them, and 1 in my office upstairs. This is so that I could remind myself on a daily basis what we're called to be, what we're called to become as sons and daughters of God. From the scripture that was read earlier, we can see in this parable that the younger son asks for his share of the inheritance before his father dies. He shows this selfishness, his disregard for his father's authority. It is as if he was saying to the father, "You know, I wish you were dead so I can have my inheritance now." He wanted to live life his own way, be his own boss, be his own master. He had no concern for his father or for his family. But the father grants his request. And I often wondered why he did that. I would find it hard to do that. You know, giving away the inheritance to my son before I die. Did you hear that, son? Now, anyways, the father gives his younger son 1/3 of his wealth. And the son takes the money and goes off to a far country and squanders everything that he received. Everything. He spent it all carelessly. You see, the younger son has a rebellious heart that's lost in self-centeredness. He wasted all his money on wild living. He was searching for love and fulfillment in places where they could not be found. And so after spending all his money, he was desperate. And so he hired himself to someone, and he did that by feeding pigs. He was hungry, but no one cared. And he was not giving any food to eat. And so while sitting among the pigs, he reflected on his life back home. Now, you may not have left home physically, but have you left home spiritually? Have you been seduced by the voices from a distant land calling you to prove that your worth is measured by the amount of money you make? That you'll be loved more by enhancing your physical beauty, your outward appearance, your social media feed, you know, the number of people that like your comments. Have you been seeking true love in a distant land where the only place true and unconditional love is found is in the embrace of your Heavenly Father? You see, it's only when we are in the arms of the Father who's willing to accept us just as we are that we can gain a glimpse into how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, Paul says. Henry Nouwen, in his book, The Return of the Prodigal Son, this is a great book to read. He describes leaving home as moving out of the place of the Father's love, where one is able to hear, "You are my son, whom I love. Upon you my favor rests." He continues by saying this, "Yet over and over again, I have left home. I have fled the hands of blessing and run to faraway places, searching for love. Somehow, I have become deaf to the voice that calls me the beloved. I have left the only place where I can hear that voice and have gone off desperately hoping that I would find somewhere else what I could no longer find at home." And so after coming to his senses, the younger son decided to go home to his father. It was a very difficult decision for him to make because he knows what he will face when he gets back home. He will face the humiliation and the taunting of the people in his village. He'll face the scorn and the hostility of the village elders. He will face the ridicule and the contempt of his older brother. And he was also expecting to face the anger and the wrath of his father. You see, he has sinned against God, and he has sinned against his father. And it's a long way home. It's a long way home, but he nonetheless, despite everything, decides to go. He wanted to tell his father that he was sorry. And while he was still a far way off, his father saw him. Now, the father doesn't just stand there. He doesn't just cross his arms and say, "This better be good." But he runs. And he throws himself. And he kisses his son. He was filled with compassion, with love for his son. The son began to say what he had prepared to say. But before he could even finish, the father cuts him off and he says, in effect, "You are my son. Welcome home, son." He was willing to be a slave, but the father restored him to full sonship. He had taken his father's love for granted. But here, he experiences the full extent of his father's love for him. As a result, the father celebrates because of his joy. He calls for a feast, the fattened calf to be cooked. You know, for us in the Asian culture, it would be a roast pig, a suji, especially during this time of year. When the older son comes back, he notices a celebration. And on hearing the news, the older son becomes angry, and he will not celebrate. As far as he was concerned, his younger brother was dead, and he should remain that way. The older son's resentment paralyzed him. And so he could not enter into his father's joy, into his father's home. If the younger son has a rebellious heart that's lost in self-centeredness, then the older son has a resentful heart that's lost in self-righteousness. But even so, the father's love for the older son continues as he goes out to meet his angry son, who then says, in effect, "You know, I'm worthy. He's not. This is totally unfair." You see, in his mind, his younger brother deserved punishment, but received love. He deserved the reward, but received nothing. He couldn't find it in his heart to forgive his brother. The older son lives at home with his father, but he is far away from the father's heart. In Rembrandt's painting, the older son, he looks like the father. I mean, he is dressed like the father. But the similarity stops there. Because he does not agree with how the father accepts his younger brother. He would never do the things that his brother did. He would never leave home. He would never squander all that money. He would never indulge in that type of lifestyle. But as we look closer at him, he's more lost than his brother. Why? Because he doesn't even realize that he's lost. This should serve as a warning to us. As we can dutifully serve God, we can dutifully come to church each and every week of the year, but we can still be lost. You see, duty has become a burden and service a form of slavery for the older son. Now, when I hold on to my anger, when I hold on to my grudges, when I find it difficult to forgive people who have wronged me, I'm like the older son. When I grumble and complain and constantly find fault in others, I'm like the older son. The oldest son lives at home with the father, but he's far from the father's heart. Have we wandered away from the father like the older son? Rather than sharing in the father's joy at his younger brother's return, his pride, his selfishness that were deeply hidden, they're now revealed. The older son totally underestimated the depth of his father's love and goodness. And so if the younger son has a rebellious heart that's lost in self-centeredness, and the older son has a resentful heart that's lost in self-righteousness, and I can see that the father has a redemptive heart that's filled with compassion and love. The heart of the father burns with an immense desire to bring his children home. But his love is too great to force any of it by constraining, by controlling, by pushing and pulling. You see, as the father, he wants his children to be free, free to love. But that freedom includes their possibility of leaving home, of going to a distant land, of losing everything. The father is waiting for his son to return, hoping that one day he will see his son again. He wants his son to know that the love that he's searching for is and will always be there for him. Luke 15, verse 20 says, "But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him." When the father sees his son, he runs to him, which in that culture is a shameful act for a man his age. The father then embraces the son, even though he's wearing filthy clothes, another shameful act. Then he kisses his son, even though he's dirty and smelly, another shameful act. In doing all these things, the father is taking the shame of his son upon himself. And whatever the people of the village and the older brother wanted to do to the younger son, they must now do to the father. And the surprises continue as the father orders the best robe to be put around his son. Orders a ring to be placed on his finger, shoes to be put on his feet, and the killing of the fattened calf done only on behalf of the most honored guests. In this parable, Jesus shows us the heart and the love of our Heavenly Father as he describes the love the Father in this story has for his sons. What a beautiful picture of a loving and compassionate God. The father humiliates himself to show love towards his sons. And so, if the message to the younger son is to come home, then the message to the older son is to come in. Come in to the father's heart. Our holy God himself risks his reputation to welcome home lost sons and daughters. In Rembrandt's painting, we see the hands of the father gently pressing his son to his chest. We have an image of a father whose hands lovingly created us, whose palms, our names, are carved into, the Bible says, whose hands are held out to bless us. He holds his son with tenderness, with mercy, and with great understanding. His face of the father, his hands, his embrace, they all show unconditional love. Here we see forgiveness. We see reconciliation. We see healing. We see safety, rest, being at home. The father's heart goes out to both his sons. He loves them both. And he hopes to see them together as brothers who belong to the same household, who belong to the same family. You see, we are called, and we are God's beloved. We need to come before our Heavenly Father and receive the unconditional love that He offers us, because it's only then that we can be gradually transformed into the compassionate Father. Unless you feel that you are God's beloved, you cannot see into the heart of God. Now, unless you have sensed God's forgiveness for you, you cannot offer it to others. Have you kneeled before the Father? Have you placed your ears upon His chest to hear the heartbeat of God? To feel His embrace and love for you? To become His beloved, we must also return home. We need to consciously not cling onto our past sins, our past failures. We need to believe that where our trials and our failures are great, God's grace is greater still. We need to realize that our worth is not as His hired servant, but as His child, His son, His daughter. Henry Nouwen asked this question, and I believe it's a great question to ask. He says, the question is not, how am I to love God? But rather, how am I to let myself be loved by God? According to Nouwen, a child does not remain a child. A child becomes an adult. An adult becomes father and mother. When the prodigal son returns home, he returns not to remain a child, but to claim his sonship and to become a father himself. As the returned child of God who is invited to resume my place in my Father's home, the challenge is to become the father myself. I have lived with the insight that returning to my Father's home was the ultimate call. But the closer I come to home, the clearer becomes the realization that there is a call beyond the call to return. It is a call to become the father who welcomes home and calls for a celebration. Having reclaimed my sonship, I now have to claim fatherhood. And so we are called to become the father. Now, some of us here, we can relate to the younger son because we've gone our own way. We've wandered from God. Some of us can relate to the older son because over the years, our hearts have grown cold. It's grown hard. Our love and compassion for others have run dry. And some of us, including myself, I could relate to both. So although we may have both the rebellious younger son and the resentful older son in us, we're not to stay that way because God has called us to become the father in this story. Becoming like the Heavenly Father is not just one aspect of Jesus' teaching. It's actually at the very heart of His message. Do I want to be like the Father? Do I want to be not just the one who's being forgiven, but also the one who forgives? Not just the one who's being welcomed home, but also the one who welcomes home. Not just the one who receives compassion, but the one who offers compassion as well. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 36, be compassionate as your Father is compassionate. Jesus says this not only to show us how God is willing to feel for me and to forgive me of my sins, but He says this to invite us to become like God, to show the same compassion to others as He has shown to me. Now, I pray that one day we may all be able to say that God is transforming us, that God is renewing us from being the kneeling or standing lost sons and daughters to being the loving and compassionate father. From the place of being blessed to the place where we can truly bless others as well. Are there areas in your life that you feel God tugging at your heart to be or to do, but you just lack the discipline, you lack the courage? In what area of your life is the Lord urging you to become more like the Father in this story? Is it to take on more spiritual leadership in our homes, with our families, or in our church? Perhaps the Lord just wants you to spend more meaningful time with your aging parents or with your teenage children. Or perhaps he just wants you to pray and he wants you to wait patiently for them. To become like the Father in your situation of life where you welcome people home. Where you're continually forgiving others. Where you show unconditional love to all people. As I was asking myself this question, in what area of my life is the Lord urging me to become more like the Father? I sense God saying this to me, especially in my role as the senior pastor of Fraserlands Church. In my present position, I see my role as the Father. The father of a spiritual family, a spiritual home, a home in which I've been a part of since 1991. That's a long time. That's 29 years. Some of you aren't even that old. You weren't even born yet in 1991. You see, in my personal life, I have one son, one child in whom I love dearly. In my communal life, in my church life, I have 5 children, so to speak. And they're all very different. They're all very unique. They're all very special. God has given me in my role as children, as a spiritual father to children, the Cantonese congregation, the English congregation, the Mandarin congregation, the youth and the children as well. I see each of our congregations as a sort of child, as children in our church family. I see the Cantonese congregation as the eldest child, not just because of their age and maturity, but also because of their diligence, their responsible nature, their older sibling tendencies. I see the English congregation as the second child. The creative one, the talented one, the overachiever. I see the Mandarin congregation as the middle child, the one who feels forgotten, neglected, misunderstood, unless you really pay attention to them. I see the youth as the teenager in the family, the mysterious one, the quirky one, the moody one, who's still undergoing a lot of growing pains. And I see the children as the youngest child in need of care and constant attention because they're not able to yet look after themselves. And so there's still a lot of babysitting that's still going on. And so I sense the Lord wanting me to get to know each of these congregations, each of these children better. So I can love them as the Lord would love them. Because they're all very special. They're all very precious. They all have their own strengths and their challenges. They all have great potential, but they also have many issues to overcome. These children are all very different. It's not like you have 5 teenagers or 5 young adults who are going through similar issues in life at the same time, but rather, these are children in all different stages of their lives, all different phases of their development, be it physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And sometimes they don't get along that well. Sometimes they don't see eye to eye. There are differences of opinion, different cultural upbringings, different ways of doing things. But like the Father, his heart goes out to all his children. He loves them all. And he hopes to see them together as brothers and sisters who belong to the same household, who belong to the same spiritual family. And that is what my prayer is. That is what my hope is. That is what my longing for our church is. That we would know without a doubt that we are God's beloved child. And that we are called to become like the Father. That we would welcome each other home. That we would forgive one another continually. That we would love each other unconditionally. And so, if you don't remember anything of what I said today, please remember this image. Please let this image of the Father embracing and holding his Son compassionately against his chest be to you what has become to me over the years. It has been a vision of my God. It's been a vision of my ministry. It's been a vision of who I am as his beloved son, as his beloved daughter. Also, it's been a vision of what it means for us and for our church to be renewed personally, relationally, and spiritually. Let's pray together, shall we? Lord God, thank you for giving us a glimpse into our Father in heaven. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for telling us this story, this parable, in order to help us not just to focus our eyes upon ourselves, but to help us gain a deeper and a greater understanding of what you're calling us to be as individuals, as husbands in a household, as sons and daughters within a family, as potential mentors and sages in our church. And so, Lord God, we come before you with great humility, knowing that who are we to become like the Father? Who are we to become like God? But yet, Lord Jesus, that is the journey, that is the road, that is the faith journey that you want us to take as we continue to live out our lives in this world, amongst all its troubles, all its struggles and challenges. Lord God, you want us to embrace those who are coming home to you. You want us, O Lord Jesus, to welcome home the stranger, the lost. You want us, O Lord Jesus, to forgive continually those who sin and sin and sin against us. You want us, O Lord Jesus, to love unconditionally those who we find extremely hard to love. And so, Lord God, in humility we come to you and ask that would you do this in us? Would you do this in our church? Would you do this in us as leaders of the church and as members of this household, the spiritual family? We thank you, God. We commit ourselves to you. Lord Jesus, we look to you. We praise our Father in heaven. And we're grateful for the Spirit of God that lives in us. Transform us and change us. Renew us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.